Ugh, spam calls. Sound familiar? Introducing Line 2. Get a second phone number right on your existing phone. Imagine discounts, appointments, online forms. Handle it all without giving out your personal number. It's like having a secret weapon against spam. And when those unwanted calls sneak through, boom, blocked. No more interruptions, no more stress. Stay connected, stay protected. Keep your main number safe and out of harm's way. Ready to take back your phone? Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store today.
Welcome to the Creator Spotlight here on the Spotlight on Fightful. I am Steven Jensen, joined as always by Jeremy Lambert. And our guest today is coming off of a big weekend last weekend, won back the West Coast Pro World Championship over Titus Alexander, then the next night defeated Masato Tanaka. He is the current West Coast Pro Heavyweight Champion, World Champion. He is the Ascetic Crippler, Kevin Blackwood. Kevin Blackwood, thank you for joining us. How are you doing tonight?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Doing great.
Doing well.
Yeah, so I know you don't do a whole lot of these interviews, and we really appreciate your time here today. As I mentioned there in the intro, you're a very busy guy. You're wrestling all over the place. You've wrestled a who's who of opponents. Last weekend was a big one, as I mentioned, defeating Titus Alexander, winning the title back from him at West Coast Pro. What was that experience like in your time in West Coast Pro in general? Because you've become like pretty much like one of the main guys in that promotion.
Yeah, it's cool because that was the first company that reached out to me when I moved to Los Angeles a couple years ago. I don't want to name drop or anything, but Daniel Garcia, my friend, he had been working out there for a little while before that too. Scott was like really high on both of us from our work at Limitless. So Scott reached out to me, and they were just like a constant, basically like source of work for me while I lived over there. And I was glad to be able to like keep that relationship up with them when I moved back to Buffalo.
What's your relationship like with Titus Alexander? Because you guys have awesome matches with one another, obviously traded that title back and forth recently. What's your kind of your thoughts on him and the matches you've been able to have together?
I think that, he was actually not the first, but the second person that I wrestled on the West Coast when I moved there. It was not at West Coast, but it was the day after, or 2 days after something at UGWA, which is based in, I want to say like San Jose, like Oakland kind of area, the Bay Area. That's all, you know. I wrestled him there, and he was so new. And our match then was still so sick. Like we had just like such good chemistry, and we still were both like finding ourselves as wrestlers. So to then be able to do it, you know, like a couple years later, our first big one being in Japan last month for Noah, that was like one of the best matches of my career. You know, and it was at least one of my favorites. And I think we've always just had natural chemistry. And I think that, you know, like getting along behind the scenes helps, obviously. I'm like a very well hated heel at West Coast, but behind the scenes, I'm, you know, like everybody there gets along pretty well. So.
I want to ask about the time in Japan. One thing I like to ask everybody is, did you get a chance to go to Ribera while you were in Japan?
No. So we had been planning on it because we were pretty sure that Chigusa Nagayo could get us all jackets. But I just didn't know. I didn't know what I would do there because it's a steakhouse and I'm a vegan. Mm-hmm. And eating vegan in Japan was not very easy as it was. So I didn't know, like Vinnie Massaro was like, just get like rice. I'll have earned a jacket that way. You know,
was that mainly what you ate in Japan? Like, did you find other stuff that like you could stay kind of satisfied with while you're over there eating vegan?
I did. I figured out what I needed to do. So I ate a lot. I was able to find a good grocery store that I went to a couple times a week where I would get like noodles and tofu. There was a convenience store called Lawson that was like walking distance from the apartment that we all stayed at. And we would go there a few times a day, basically. Like the owner of it knew us, and she knew that we were like the local wrestlers nearby. So she knew us all by name, and she would like give us, she would point us out if we were in one of the magazines. Like she would tell us that we were in it. But yeah, I would go there and just get these rice balls, this onigiri. Yeah. I would eat those. I would eat like 20 of those a day. It was like, I was eating just straight carbs the whole time I was there, basically.
Have you been, like, how long have you been vegan? And like, have you noticed like any differences? Like if you made like a change, I know a lot of athletes, like I know like the Diaz brothers in the UFC, for instance, are pescatarian. And like, you know, we hear like sometimes it's hard to like keep the same energy and whatnot, like with lack of protein and stuff. Like, so what's kind of been your experience, eating vegan?
Well, so I've been vegan for, it'll be 9 years next month. So I've been vegan for just like a hair longer than I've been a wrestler. So I, you know, like at this point I've got it down to like, this is just my life. You know, this is like how I do things, and I've figured it out. You know, I understand like what food I need and what works for me. And so like I get plenty of protein every day. So it's tough to say that if I feel like a difference at all, because it's just been like, it's almost a decade at this point, you know?
I wanted to go basically to the start of your career and just ask, you know, kind of how you got started in wrestling.
So I had moved home to Buffalo from Wisconsin, and I was having a really bad year, because I had like a big breakup with somebody that I had moved out to Wisconsin for in the first place. And I was just really, really depressed that year. And it turned out one of the clients at the tattoo shop I work at, he was a friend of my boss, and he was involved in wrestling locally. He was like a manager for ESW. So I asked him, like, is there like a school or anything that I could train at? Cause I would like, it's lifelong dream, like childhood dream to be a pro wrestler. And, so he pointed me to Grapplers Anonymous, said that they were doing like a tryout kind of thing. Just like test like your physical fitness and see if you're capable of being a wrestler. And, so it was like a month or two after that, I ended up going, I went to that trial, and there was like probably like 25, 30 people at it. And ultimately what happened was like everybody got through the trial and nobody gave up. And that ultimately was like, the trainers were like, all right, everybody, you didn't give up, so you can all come back next week. And then the following week, five of us came back. And to this day, I'm the only one left involved in wrestling of those five. And but yeah, so it kind of just was like, that was like the end of 2015 that I started at Grapplers, and I just haven't stopped. You know, I just never looked back since that.
Of those five that you mentioned, did any of them like have a career and like have since left, or like anyone that we might know of those five?
No, nobody from that group. There was one guy, his name was Wes Adams, who like, he kind of would travel to like, in like Pennsylvania area. He would go up to Canada with us to Smash every now and then, but he ended up, he like moved to like Alaska or something. Mm. And just like to like be with like family or something like that. So he was not bad, but it wasn't until Garcia came, like the following year, that I found somebody like, okay, this is somebody who wants to like make it in wrestling. And then me and him clicked. And then Puff came a little while after that. And then we all clicked. And then we all got tight with Kevin Bennett, who was at the time, like he was kind of like doing like the indie circuit a lot. And he had been around for like a while already. So it just helped that, you know, like he was the only one in Buffalo that was like doing stuff. And then, so it helped that like we came along, and so like all the four of us like click together, and we all have like similar mindsets in that way.
Do you remember like what it was like meeting Daniel Garcia for the first time? Like, what about him were you immediately like, oh yeah, this is like the guy? Like, we hear stories back in the day of guys like Chris Jericho and Lance Storm, for instance, like they're looking around the training room and they're like, oh, the two of us are like really serious about this, we need to get to become friends. Like, what was it about Daniel Garcia specifically?
It's so, first of all, he would, when we would like do drills, he came into it from like the last thing he did was hockey. And so he had this crazy cardio, and he didn't understand at the time that you have to like match your pace to the person you're working with. So he'd be going like running the ropes, like Macho Man in the 80s, and dudes are like, they could not keep up with him. And just like, I was like, dude, this kid's like insane. I was like, Dan, slow down. we were like driving back from like a local show, that like, it just so happened, he gave me a ride. And I think that was the first time that we like connected and talked, and, you know, like that was like, this kid, like, he always had a good mindset, and he always like wanted to be a good wrestler, and he was always like cool and respectful. Yeah. Everybody's always liked Dan. And I think just all of that just went a long way for him.
What do you make of his dancing nowadays? He's kind of given it up, but what did you make of that when he's dancing?
I think, I was just talking to him about that, because when he was at the West Coast show, it's one of those things, like, he grew to hate it. It's like, you know, like bands have their like huge breakout single and they have to play it because the crowd wants to see it, but they just don't feel like playing it. Like, that's the point he got to with it, I guess. But he knows like the people want to see it, so he'll do it occasionally. I don't know. I felt like it obviously worked. Like, it really like went a long way to get him over. So like whatever's working, I think, go with it. It was entertaining to me. Like, Dan's always been entertaining, so it works. And I think I've told other people this in interviews, that like that move is just like a move that he would do at the club pretty much, you know. So Dan's a big club guy, so
that's what he said, like, yeah, this is just something I kind of do at the club, and then I just did it on TV and it got over. And
so
He was very quick to pass it off to Mina Shirakawa, though. He's like, it's hers. If she wants it, she can have it. Much, much better moves than Daniel Garcia, let's be honest.
right.
You mentioned, you know, it was kind of like a dream to be a pro wrestler. Like, what was it about pro wrestling? Was there a certain wrestler you watched growing up? Was like, oh, this is the guy. Like, this is who you kind of gravitated towards.
So I was born in 1990. And so Stone Cold Steve Austin was like my dude. He still is my dude. I just, one of the refs at Deadlock, he refed me, cause I wrestled Titus again at DPW last weekend or this past weekend. And, Frank, the ref, was like, Kevin, you know, something that terrifies me is that we'll do these near falls and you have your eyes closed every time. A lot of guys will like watch for the tight three, you know? And, I do that because I heard Steve Austin say in an interview that if you can't feel the cadence of the near fall, then you're it's like, what are you even doing? So I'm like, I will do, if Steve Austin said it, I'm down. I gotta like abide by that.
I've seen you rocking the like that Stone Cold jersey, I want to say, before. Yeah. That thing's badass. I figured you were a Stone Cold fan when I saw that.
Yeah, he was. I have a 316 tattoo.
Nice.
Yeah, from a couple years before I started training. I never thought I would like be a wrestler when I got that. So I'm probably just gonna look really marky when I get to TV at some point.
No, all good, man. Me and Jeremy were both born in 88, so like we're right around your age. So we grew up on all this stuff as well. So this, yeah, very, very cool. I'd seen on your social media, speaking of some of your favorite wrestlers, I know you think very highly of your match with Kenta. I see that as a like your pinned tweet on Twitter. what about Kenta drew you in? Like, when did you become a fan of his, and what was the experience like of actually wrestling him? Because y'all put on, not just wrestling him, you'll put on a banger. I know you're trying to like undersell it in your tweet. Like, I don't know if anyone even likes this match. Or, no, yeah. People like that match.
I think that,
you know that feeling when you're about to score 30% off, but they want your number? Ugh. Give them your Line 2 number instead. It's a second line on your phone, perfect for nabbing promo codes without inviting spam to your party. Sign up for every discount under the sun, then block the junk texts that follow. You get all the perks, but none of the spammy baggage. More codes, less chaos. Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store and get your shopping sidekick today. Because the only thing blowing up your phone should be good deals.
Because growing up for me, I didn't have access to wrestling outside of WWE. So like the first kind of like understanding of like this, like independent wrestling, like, you know, guys that like came from the independents and were like big from like Ring of Honor and stuff like that, it was like CM Punk and Daniel Bryan, and like their style always stuck out to me. And it was like big with Punk because he was straight edge and like he was into hardcore, obviously, and like those are things about my life that like I can relate to it. And so the MMA, like martial arts kind of style, like I was like really drawn to that. And I saw like Daniel Bryan doing the same kind of stuff, but even like more like intense. And then when it wasn't until I started training and like wrestling at all that I would go back and watch their like Ring of Honor stuff and their Japan stuff. And then like the same kind of thing, like when Kenta came to NXT and it was Hideo Itami, and then you're like, then I'm looking for like his stuff at like Noah and also Ring of Honor against Bryan Danielson. And I'm like, dude, these guys are like awesome. And so like Kenta, you know, I always wanted to like emulate that style, but I wasn't like immediately good at it. So I'd get like discouraged. Like I had several periods where I'd stop wearing kick pads because I'm like, I can't kick. What's the point? And then I was like, no, I love this. I got to like just learn how to do it properly. And I was so I'd like literally like watch Kenta because I loved the way Kenta moved and how intense he was and how he was kind of a dickhead about it. And over time, it just was like, Kenta is like my guy. Like I love everything about Kenta. I think Kenta versus Low Key, that match is like mind-blowingly awesome. Like I love that match. And so I just like, I just wanted to like be like Kenta in the ring. And so like when I got to wrestle him, it was like totally like full circle moment. Like this dude like fully shaped like why I am like successful in wrestling basically right now.
Did you get a chance to like speak with him or anything after the match and just kind of get a feel out for what he thought of it or any advice from him?
Yeah. He didn't really give me any advice per se. But it was, I don't know. It was just like an obvious, like, I don't know. There was just this like feeling of like respect and like that was really cool. Thank you for doing that kind of thing. You know, like he was really like appreciative and like, Emi Sakura was there also. Like when I got to the back, Emi was talking to Kenta and Emi, I walked up to them and Emi like complimented me a lot. And so I was just like, Japanese wrestling is like, I love Japanese wrestling so much. So I'm just these like two like legendary Japanese wrestlers just telling me how good I did in this match. It was just so like, it was just like kind of like mind blowing, you know, like I just felt like I just felt so accomplished. I really love that match. Like I think it'll always be my favorite match.
Speaking of, you know, Japanese wrestlers, legendary Japanese wrestlers, I mentioned at the top of the show last weekend, you also defeated Masato Tanaka at Prestige. What was that? This is like a multi-layered question, so we'll probably kind of attack it a few different ways, but like that was a crazy night for you because that wasn't the original opponent. It was going to be Josh Alexander, his exit from the Indies. What was that whole night like finding out about the opponent change and then your actual experience? Because that the main event match I thought was fantastic with Tanaka as well.
Yeah, so I knew that it probably wouldn't be Josh around like Tuesday, because there was like, you know, there was issues with, I don't like behind the scenes stuff that I'm not like fully like understanding, but Josh said there was like a good chance that he wouldn't be there, and he apologized, and he said, you know, like he said, he'd make it up to me. And so like, with Tankman also being out, Will asked me like, do you think if I make it you versus Tanaka, like you can do that? And I was like, and I know, cause like, there's like an expectation of like, it's Masato Tanaka. So they want like hardcore aspect. And like, I know like I can do that, but I also can do it with, you know, like in the realm of like a good Japanese style wrestling match, you know? And you know, on top of that, when Tanaka-san got there and we were talking, I could tell he didn't necessarily like want to do like a lot of chairs and tables stuff. So I was like, okay, for you put me through a table, you hit me with a chair, etc. And it's like, I'm totally fine with that. And then we'll just put together like a really cool match otherwise. And not to mention that like before that, when he found out he was wrestling me, he had already seen me in Japan, because he was at Korakuen Hall when Chigusa Nagayo did her like 60th birthday show for Marvelous. And so Tanaka-san was on that show, and like there was like a monitor in like the men's locker room with playing the whole show. So it was like Tanaka and Kota Ibushi were like watching the whole show, and I was like not very sure if he had actually like watched my match. But Will showed me like screenshots of like, hey, you're going to be wrestling Kevin Blackwood. And Tanaka's like, can I handle his movements? And he was like, Will was like, not sure like what that means. And he's like, yeah, he's great, he'll take care of you. And Tanaka's like, he's amazing. And I was like, okay, cool. Sorry. So he feels good about it at least. That was good.
You took your finish to that table then too. That was nice. That was badass.
It felt good, but I watched it back. I was like, holy shit. The table like imploded.
It's perfect. I mean, because I know that's something where obviously that like peeling the curtain back too much. Like it seems like such a sketchy move, because not just the double stomp themselves, but like the landing after, because like you have to fall somewhere and like you, yeah. Like, so, and then doing it through a table on top of that. And it's like a legend who you like massively respect. So like, you want to make sure everything goes good, but man, it's, From a fan who watched it, it came across awesome. So
yeah, I'm
happy you got that match and you got that moment, man. Very cool.
Thank you.
You mentioned another Japanese legend that you wanted to face, Tajiri. You want to just throw this out there, see if we can't get this booked somewhere?
I would, dude. I'm just saying, Tajiri, I've wrestled guys that you know, and I've wrestled guys that look up to you, and you probably, you know, you've worked on shows with. And I just want you to know that I can kick with the best of them. And I would be honored for Tajiri to kick my head off. And I just want to make that happen.
We'll put it out in the universe. We'll see if, you know, something could come.
Absolutely. Out
of it. He's still going. Absolutely. He's at the GCW show, still going.
He super showed crazy. Up looking like a silver fox, dude. That yeah. Shit was crazy. I was like, oh, dude, Tajiri looks awesome.
Dude, all those guys, I mean, they're still doing their thing, man. All of them, all those ECW originals showing up. It's always just cool to see that, like, guys you grow up with that are like still out there, that are still putting it on like at a high level. It's, yeah, man, nothing better than that. I'd love to see you versus Jiri. That'd be badass.
I'm just, yeah, just like, if we just kicked each other back and forth for like 10 minutes and then just one of us like ends it, like that'd be fine. I think people would like that.
who's like the, not necessarily in like a negative way, but like who's like some of like the more stiffer people you wrestled, as far as like people who really lay in those kicks? And obviously we mentioned Kenta before. I don't know if he's on that list, but who are some people that come to mind as far as like when you want to go kick for kick with someone who's gonna like really give it back to you?
Speedball.
Okay.
Like, literally, like that's the answer. He's Speedball. He will kick you really hard. And it'll be safe because he's like precise as hell with his feet, but comes, it's solid, you know. Anthony Henry also. Trevor Lee kicked me really, really hard when I wrestled him at Prestige. Like, he's just really strong. He also has, like, extremely, like, good, like, technique with his strikes, but he's so, so strong. So, like, he kicked me in the chest, and I was like, I, like, needed a second.
Trevor Lee's not a name you really think of when it comes to, like, really, like, strong style strikers like that. So that's an interesting name to say.
I thought the same, but then I was, like, watching him wrestle Tankman at DPW in Texas, and he's just, like, he throws kicks like he's like a Muay Thai fighter. Like, he's really, really, like he knows what he's doing. But yeah, our match he hit me with like a PK. I was on the floor and he was on the apron, and I was like please don't come get me. Like, I went down to the floor and I was like, just don't come back, I'll be here for a minute. I just needed a second.
One of I took notice of, I think it was this past weekend, but you were talking about some of the stuff that hurt, and talking about the Tanaka match and Tanaka splashing you through the table, and somebody just asked, why did the table spot hurt the way it did? What went wrong? You're like, nothing, dude. Just 200-pound jumped on me. 200-pound guy jumped on me at a great height. Like, it's gonna hurt. And
I don't know. I don't know what he was like looking for right. The answer to be. It's like, I laid on a table and a man landed on me. Like,
that's what happened. This tweet pops up with my wife's feed, and she knew we were interviewing you, and she's like, oh, she was just cackling at this. She's like, did you see this tweet? My black lady's like, nothing went wrong. It's just a guy jumped on me from a great height. It hurt. Yeah. She was dying.
I actually got the hurricane followed me from that tweet.
Nice. There you go.
He answered. He said, outstanding reply.
Yeah. Like, sometimes, yeah, wrestling just, it hurts. Like, everything goes right, but you know, like, Trevor Lee's not trying to hurt you or anything, but he's gonna kick you, and it might just hurt a little bit. Like, you kind of know what you're signing up for. But that was a fantastic answer, so I wanted to put over that you popped multiple people in this household with that you. One and you popped the hurricane as well. Look at that.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Mine was like this is an off topic one that I was going to bring up. I don't know if you had like a follow up, but this is totally off topic that I'm about to ask. But anyway,
go ahead.
You mentioned Puff earlier. I know you have a history with him. I know Puff is a big gamer. I mainly know this because he was on commentary for a BLP show not that long ago. And during commentary, he was talking about everyone making sure they were getting their Fortnite updates like live during the show. Are you a big gamer? I was just curious about that.
I'm literally like not at all.
Okay, I was curious. You got to be making the cartoons, or you got like a King of the Hill tattoo, don't you?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, some of your favorite cartoons. Let's talk about cartoons.
So my favorite cartoons. So my favorite TV show of all time is Futurama.
Okay.
So I'm like, I actually have a tattoo of Bender on my knee. I'm Futurama, King of the Hill, I'm like looking around my apartment because I'm like bad at thinking of things off the top of my head. Those are two, like, not just my favorite cartoons, but like my favorite TV shows like ever. But I don't know. I also love like because like I said, I'm from the 90s. So I love like 90s Cartoon Network. I watched Hey Arnold recently, and that actually holds up.
Hell yeah.
Hey Arnold like really holds up. I think that whole era of Nickelodeon holds up pretty well as an adult. I was watching the episode of Hey Arnold where I think his name is Frankie. He's like the older guy on the motorcycle who comes in, like he becomes friends with Arnold because him and his friends want to break into a house, and Arnold's head is the right shape to get through it, which is insane to me.
I completely remember that because Gerald comes behind him with the fake alarm to scare them off.
Yes.
Yeah, we could talk Nickelodeon all day. That era does. I mean, cartoons were just different back then. That whole era of, like, Hey Arnold is around the time. I think maybe, like, Rocket Power was, like, the last one I was, like, really into. I kind of fell off once, like, SpongeBob became, like, the focus of everything. But I was real big into, like, Rocko's Modern Life and Doug and all. Like, that whole era was the best.
Yes. Well, dude, SpongeBob, like, the first, like, three seasons of SpongeBob are legendary.
Sure.
Like, it was so funny. Like, I can watch – one, I quote SpongeBob like several times a week, just based like something in my life will happen and I'll have a SpongeBob quote that kind of like correlates to it. But two, it's just like it was from like the era where it's like they were making jokes that the kids are just watching because they're entertained by like the bright colors and shit. But like the adults sitting with them will also laugh at the jokes because they get it, you know? And SpongeBob did that a lot. Like obviously like Ren and Stimpy and like Rocco and all that. Even Rugrats did that a lot. Mm-hmm. But like SpongeBob did that. Like there's like, I don't know. There's like, I don't want to say high level humor, but there's like pretty, it's like a very funny show like to this day.
Oh, I say that all the time. Big SpongeBob fan in this household. I have, as a show off, just things. There's just a SpongeBob Lego sitting there, and then the kids love to get me little SpongeBob toys when they go out. So this is just all stuff that's sitting on my desk, SpongeBob stuff. But I always say it's like it's actually like kind of an adult humor show if you're actually paying attention to it. And the kids certainly don't get that, but I'm watching. I'm like, there's a dirty joke in there that you're not understanding, but I am.
But it's like around the time the movie came out, like everyone's voices got kind of different and like the humor and the animation changed. And it's like anything after that point, I'm just like not really into, but I can go back and watch those like first three, like anytime.
For sure.
Same. Not to mention they're like 10-minute episodes. So it's like an easy watch.
Yes. I'm a big quoting of the pinky. Anytime I just drink like a tea, pinky up, put pinky. So, fancy with the pinky.
I'm super random, but like a decade ago, I was working at AT&T in retail in Nashville, and completely randomly, one of the clients I had one day started talking about that he was like a cartoonist, and I was like, oh, that's cool. Anything that I would have known about? And he was like, I work for a company called Klasky Zupo, or I can never remember how to say that. And I was like, oh yeah, I definitely. That was like Nickelodeon. And he was like, yeah, I created a show called Doug. And I was like, and all I said to him was, chicka pop, chicka chicka pop. And he was like, yes. Were you a fan of like the live action? I've got a little temple coin here. Were you a fan of like Legend of the Hidden Temple and
that
kind of stuff too?
Yeah, of course. I don't like remember a lot of that stuff that well, but I have like core memories of like my old house when I was like really little. I would like mostly watch TV in my parents' room because like the only two TVs in the house were in there or the living room. So when they were watching in the living room, I would watch TV in there. And I have like core memories of like summertime with like the windows being open, watching like Camp Salute Your Shorts and stuff like that. But I, you know, dude, Doug is such a good reference though, because I literally like, and it's, you ever see like somebody be like, what's the best song or band from like a TV show that's not, you know, that's not like a real band? That always, it's always Killer Tofu is the answer.
Oh, the song Killer Tofu
by the Beats. Yeah.
By the Beats, yeah.
Killer Tofu. Oh yeah.
It's such a sick, it's like a sick song.
Dude, they were, even the theme song was iconic, just the do-do-do-do-do-do.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone remembers that, man. I love that you're into this stuff. So we don't have to only talk about wrestling. I know you're right. talk about some different stuff every now and then. That's awesome. Oh man. Cartoon Network. What were some of your favorite shows over there?
Courage, Ed and Eddie. I loved Dexter, but I always specifically remember Monkey from Dexter, the episode where that Macho Man was in. I don't know if you remember that. He was like the superhero monkey, and there was like a villain named Rasslore. And Macho Man played him. And I remember, like, I literally remember, like, the first time I watched it, I was like, I just hear Macho Man's voice on Dexter's Lab. And I was like, oh, dude, that was like mind blowing.
I never knew that, I don't think. I remember Macho Man. I'm almost positive I remember him doing an episode of Space Ghost Coast to Coast back in the day.
I doubt that. Yeah.
Man.
Everybody was on that show.
Yeah. That was way before its time.
And I also, I didn't know that, like, at the time, I didn't know that, like, Space Ghost was, like, an actual, like, cartoon from, like, a long time ago. So, like, I can't, like, I've heard what, like, Brack sounded like on like, the actual show. I'm like, that's wrong. That's not what Brack sounds like. Brack sounds like an idiot.
Well, it's funny because what I think that they did, if I remember correctly, is they had like the rights to all those old like Hanna-Barbera like cartoons, and they like repurposed them. Like they had Space Ghost Coast to Coast, and they had like Sea Lab 2021, which they like redubbed for Adult Swim and stuff like that, and made it like an adult show, just redubbed over the cartoons and stuff. Man, you're unlocking core memories for me as well. I'm about to go down a rabbit hole that's going to take up the rest of this interview. So I'm. Jeremy, ask a question.
Okay, I'm gonna skip back to wrestling for a moment here. The Jersey J-Cup is coming up, and I saw you were trying to potentially get in there with Gabe Kidd. Is this a potential match? Have you heard anything about possibly competing in the Jersey J-Cup and facing Gabe Kidd?
No, I haven't heard anything. I just thought that would be like a nice like because me and Gabe got along. When I first moved to Los Angeles, and I don't know, there was this little period of time. It was maybe like a week or so. It was like me. I think it was it? It might have been Ebola. That it was like me. Yeah, it was because me, Garcia, Wheeler Yuta, and Lee Moriarty had all done Ebola. For, you know, this is all of our first Bola. And so we considered ourselves like kind of like part of like a class of like independent wrestlers, especially all being from over on like the Northeast essentially. And so we all posted a picture together. It was like this really cool moment. And Gabe Kidd was like going on like a radio show or something talking about he wanted to do the four pillars of like the New Japan Academy versus he was calling it the four pillars versus the four killers, but he didn't like tell any of us that he was going to go and like shoot on us. Basically, he just was like, it was this period where he was like trying to like drum up just like buzz essentially. So he would just like go and like just start shooting on people and like not tell them that he was going to do it. And it was like cool. I was like, oh wow, this could like lead to like some really cool shit. I would have loved to have done like the four New Japan guys versus us four in some capacity, but like I think something he had gone through some like pretty bad like mental health stuff for a while, and he went dark for a while. And so when he popped back up, I think he was like his first show back was like somewhere in England probably, but I was glad to see him like just doing anything. And then like he has become such like a major staple in New Japan, like actually in Japan, not just like in America on Strong and stuff like that. So I was just, you know, I've been happy for him doing that. And I just thought it'd be like a cool, like, hey, I'll just throw this out there. Maybe they want to do it, you know, but unfortunately, no response or anything.
Do you have, this is kind of a normie question, but like just kind of on topic, do you have like a list of like dream opponents, like people you have? I know we mentioned Tajiri and some others today, but anyone else like on the top of your list that you really think is like a real good possibility in the near future that you'd like to get in there with?
Oh, it's tough to say ones that are possible.
Well, it's okay if you wanted to talk about like anyone that you just, even if you think it's a long shot right now, we'd love to hear that.
I would say it's like actually like definitely never going to happen, but I would love to wrestle Brian Danielson like more than anything. I really want to wrestle Shibata, of course. Like I've seen Dan wrestle him like a couple times, and I just feel like obviously like me and Shibata I think would have good chemistry, and I don't think that's like out of the realm of possibility, you know, but I would really love to do that. I don't know, I always think like I should like in my head like consciously think of like who's going right now that I would love to wrestle, and I just never do that. Like if somebody comes up, I'll be like, oh, I would love to wrestle him, but I never make like a list of like these are the people that I want to wrestle, you know what I mean?
Sure. when you stay so busy that, like, I'd imagine a lot of the time you're just kind of like living in the moment of like paying, like really focusing on what's in front of you that you know is going to be happening versus like what may or may not happen. And for your style of wrestling, especially because you do hit so hard and you are so crisp in everything you do, like, I'd imagine that takes your full focus to make sure you're doing everything safely, you know, and making everything look good. So that makes sense.
Yeah. And it's not, you know, I just, you know, like, I just want whoever I'm wrestling, that's who I want to wrestle. You know, like, I've always got like at least several like matches that I know are like, okay, this is coming up soon. So I want to wrestle that person.
Well, what about promotions? Is there anywhere specifically you haven't gotten to wrestle yet? Even whether it be a promotion or like a state or a country that you really want to wrestle?
I want to go to England really bad. Just like the UK in general. I was supposed to go to Progress a few years ago, and that just kind of like fell through. But I would love to go there and just spend like a month or two in the UK. Cause I know like travel is not that hard. Cause it's not like such a big, like Europe is not like, it's, you know, it's not like that spread out, you know? And I would love to just go do like England, Ireland, Scotland, Germany. It's just like all the big stuff that's over there. I would really like to do that at some point. And I think that's also like more than like possible, you know. It's probable that I could do that, you know.
So one name you mentioned kind of upcoming stuff, it's a few months away, it's about 3 months away, but it is April 17th, part of WrestleMania weekend, for Pandemonium Pro, Shelton Benjamin. Tell us a little bit about this match, how it came together, and like getting in the ring with Shelton Benjamin. That's he didn't do, now that he's with AEW, certainly didn't do too many indie shots. Like, what's this going to mean for you?
Yeah, so I was actually not even originally the opponent that they had like slated for him. I think whoever, I forget who it was that was supposed to be there, but like they just like already, it like already fell through. You know, and the promoter of Epic Pro Wrestling in Los Angeles, he messaged me and was like, he was just like kind of like casually was like, hey, if you're going to be at Mania, do you think you'd want to wrestle Shelton Benjamin for Pandemonium? And I was like, no, like what? so I was like, yeah, no, like, please, like, have them contact me. Like, I will definitely do that. And because at the time I had already known, like I know that DPW and West Coast and Prestige have already announced that like they're doing like a whole like their own kind of like collective type situation for Mania Week in Vegas. So I already knew I was going to be there for sure. So I'm just like, all right, yeah. And their show's like at 11 a.m. Pandemonium. So I'm like, yeah, I doubt I will be doing anything already. So yes, please book me for that. And so, I think it definitely helps, you know, like it help, like any company is like, hey, we want to book you. And then you tell them like, yeah, I'll already be there. And you don't have to like provide me like lodging and or anything like that. They're like, then yes, let's do that for sure. And yeah, so I'm like, that was really cool. Just, you know, to like know that I was going to do that. But, you know, so now just like, okay, now I'm wrestling Shelton Benjamin. And it's like, what is, it's January currently, and that's happening in April. But I have like a few months to prepare for it. And honestly, I think like the biggest thing that I want to do in that time frame is like get a little bigger. Because he's so big and so strong. And I tweeted about this, but I watched Garcia wrestle him and how easily he just like tossed Dan around. And I'm not kidding. Dan is literally not small. As far as like, some Mark would like argued with me, like, he's not 6 feet. I'm like, no, I know him personally. He's literally 6 feet tall. He weighs probably 190 pounds. Like, shoot. He's very dense. Like, he's very strong. But Shelton Benjamin just like threw him around. Like, he weighed like 50 pounds. And I'm smaller than Dan. So I just want to like get a little bigger. I have like I have cool ideas of like what to do. Is, you know, like, I think our styles are going to mesh really well. I know like I'm not expecting to get in there and be able to like do a lot of the stuff that I normally do, being that he's from the era after the era that I watched as a small child. And he's built like one of those guys. So, and I am not. So I was like, I'm excited, but you know, I've got a lot to think about with it for sure. And a lot of eating to do.
Yeah. I'm interested to see kind of what you change up in that one to make it a little bit different against Shelton. Cause I did want to ask, I know this is kind of a Mark thing to ask, depending on, you know, who you're talking to, but you know, some people don't like the word move set. They think it's a, you know, not a good thing to ask, but I think you have a pretty badass move set. I'm going to go ahead and say it. What are like kind of like your Texas Cloverleaf, for instance, and your double stomps, everything we kind of mentioned. Are any of those moves like specific like homages to specific wrestlers that you were a fan of, or just like moves that you know look good that you can execute well?
I think that a lot of my staple moves are definitely like, you know, it's based on like at least the idea of like a wrestler that I really liked. You know, I definitely like model myself, you know, like I think of myself like, okay, like I don't think I'm like the modern Kenta or anything, but like I think like I obviously am visibly influenced by Kenta. And but other than that, I really loved like the Radicals, like all those guys. I do the Cloverleaf because of Dean Malenko. Perry Saturn, I do the Death Valley Driver. I started doing double stomps because I loved Finn Balor. And so I've just like made that like a thing of like, I can just do it at, you know, from any, I try to think of like a cool new double stomp variation for like any big match I have essentially. But yeah, I definitely started doing that because I just really liked Finn Balor. And it's just like a move that I figured I could do safely, but that would look like impactful, you know?
Your Cloverleaf, a lot of the time that you do it, you do like the high angle version, which reminds me of the lasso from El Paso, which is like one of my favorite submissions. That was Eddie Guerrero's version of the Texas Cloverleaf, like the high angle. So like you're knocking out two radicals right there. So
I didn't even know that, to be honest. I just thought it was like, I just thought the idea of like, okay, if I try this move throughout, oh, I finally get it on, it's just not working. But then if I bend him like fully in half, then okay, that's the finish for sure, you know what I mean? And that's always played out well. I haven't done the Cloverleaf in a little bit. I should probably bring that back, to be realistically.
I think it's great. Just personally speaking, it's my favorite submission hold in the history of wrestling. And when I see, I'm very like protective as a fan of like my favorite move ever is Randy Savage's top rope elbow drop. Like the way he hit that elbow is my favorite move ever. So when you see people do top rope elbows, sometimes you're like, oh, that doesn't do it justice. But then there's some guys who nail it. The guys like Eric Young nail it every time. There's other guys I won't mention that you see him do it and you're just like, because that's not doing it justice. But when you lock that Cloverleaf in, man, it's legit. So I hope you do mix that in a little bit more. Maybe put that, maybe see how Shelton feels about being put in that thing.
I don't think he'll let me do that. I don't think I can get my arms around his legs, even if I wanted to.
It has definitely been a revelation watching him in AEW and how much bigger he is at just tossing dudes around. But it rules that he's working that style, though, and he's going out there. He's like, yeah, I'm going to be a brute now and work this style. And I'm bigger than people, so I'm going to work that way instead of trying to be out athleticism them in a lot of cases.
No, absolutely. But he also, and I'm glad he does that, because a lot of guys, like with like the way wrestling is now, like you'll see like big guys who all they need to do, like, is, like they're not gonna be like lazy, but you should like lean into the fact, okay, you have this thing that none of us have. Like you're huge and you're strong. It's just like do that. But they'll do like cruiserweight stuff just to, like prove that they can do it. And that's kind of like a pet peeve to me. So like Shelton, like being like bigger than most of us that are like wrestlers today, it's sick that he like He just goes in there. He just like, yes, I will just throw you around and break you. But he also can still do like run up suplex off the top rope. And like he's not hiding that he can do those things, but it's like sick that he does it like sparingly because he doesn't have to, you know?
Do you have, you mentioned a little bit about WrestleMania weekend. So a lot of guys like to just take as many bookings as they can. And I'm going to get on every show and wrestle 15 different matches. And then others like, I just want to have 2-3 just kind of standout matches and maybe not beat my body all to hell the entire weekend. Like, do you have a game plan going into WrestleMania weekend since you're going to be there and working at least this match against Shelton?
Let me see. I actually just put, I've got probably 6 bookings for for Mania. And I think that might be the most I've ever had. I've always wanted to do the like just as many matches as possible kind of thing. And I've been lucky at least a few years to have, you know, just like several bookings. I was kind of bummed out when Mania was in LA, because I lived in LA and I had like 2 bookings that week. I was like, guys, I'm already here. Like I live here. I ended up doing like more tattoos on people than bookings than like wrestling. So that was like kind of disappointing. But yeah, I think if I can just have like 1 year where I do the like speedball thing and I have like 9 to 10 matches and they're all good, then I'll be happy. And then I don't ever have to do that again to myself.
I feel like it's a rare opportunity because like everyone is there. So it's like, oh, we're all in one place. Who are names that maybe I don't get to mix it up with a lot? Like, who can I now face? Because we are all here.
Yeah, for sure. And, yeah, hopefully there's like some good like mixing it up. Like I'll be with like West Coast and Prestige and DPW, and like they are always doing like insane things, even just like their regular like hometown shows. So I know they're gonna be like popping off for Mania. So I hope I get something cool going on with those. And you know, like anything else, even you know, if I wrestle like somebody that's like just like a good West Coast, not West Coast pro, but just like from the West Coast, just somebody over there that I don't ever get to wrestle, like that'll even be cool for me. And it's just like somebody, just wrestle people that I don't normally get to work with. So that'll be exciting.
You're going to find out you got Titus Alexander like 3 different times.
I wouldn't even doubt it. I straight up wouldn't doubt it. I literally was like, okay, we had the Noah match. It was great. And then I got back from Japan and I see the announcement. Okay, Kevin Blackman versus Titus Alexander and Alexander at DPW. I'm like, okay, well, all right, fine. And then I get to West Coast that night and he's like, yeah, it's you and Titus. You're up. And I'm like, okay, cool. So like, I know it'll be a good match at least, but like, I don't want to say I'm getting sick of it, but it's like, I'm kind of getting sick of it, you know.
you just mentioned that sometimes you spend time doing tattoos for people. Have you done any or maybe notable tattoos that we would know of, or maybe some of the more memorable ones that you've done for wrestlers that you could think of?
I got to do, so this was like a low point immediately into like a high point for me. It was like shortly before I moved home from Los Angeles, my car got broken into and they stole I had my backpack in there. I don't know why I left my backpack in the car with like all my stuff in it. I had like literally like my passport and everything in it. So my backpack got stolen and my merch bag got stolen. I was already kind of stressed out and I just like went upstairs and I just like kind of, I like cried for like 10 minutes. And then I put out a tweet and I was like, just explaining the situation. I just was like, I'm not asking for donations. I'm just asking like, get a tattoo. If you want one, please book me on your show, stuff like that. And, X-Pac messages me. And so I ended up you know, I talked to him and he gave me his number and we like set it up. And like a week or two later, I went to his house and did a tattoo for him of his dog Lulu that had passed away. And he's got this tattoo by me on his leg. It was such a crazy experience. I was just like at Xbox house and I was just like, we went down in like his one room. He's got this massive TV. We just watched I Think You Should Leave while I tattooed his leg. And when he was like done with that, he put on Jeopardy and he just sat there like answering like Jeopardy questions. It was so insane. That was probably like one of the coolest things I've ever done. And the tattoo came out. I was like really proud of that tattoo also. And I know like it meant a lot to him. And then I got to like, you know, I felt weird about it, but I like made sure I took a picture with him when it was done and I was like about to leave. But yeah, that was really cool.
I remember him carrying that dog around everywhere with him. I know that it must have meant a lot to him. So that's very cool that you got to do that. And not only that you got to do that, but this is a guy who, based on everything we've talked about, you would have been watching and a fan of when you were growing up as a kid. So that's
amazing. I was a huge X-Pac fan because I didn't, to me, he looks smaller than every, like he's smaller than all the other guys on TV, but it turns out he was also like way bigger than I will ever be, even then, you know, so he was, it's like same thing. Like I met the Hurricane for the first time at a show. Like when I had first started wrestling, I was like, this dude's huge. He's like 6'1", 6'2". Like he's way bigger than you think because he was wrestling The Rock, you know?
Yeah. Oh man. Last question I have just randomly, just there may not be any rhyme or reason to this, but I was just curious. What goes into your decisions when you color your hair?
So I have like, there's no like definitive thing. Like, okay, this is why I'm doing this color today. But I have like, okay, I know generally like warm colors don't look good on me. You know, so like I do like light, cool colors, like a light green or a light blue. I know for sure, like those look good. But like, it doesn't take me long to get like, okay, I just want to go back to blonde now. I think like just bleach blonde, I think is like the best look. And so like, ultimately it's just like, okay, how do I look best? That is like as far as it goes, but that, and I'll get bored. I'm like, okay, I want to do a color, or like, I want to do like some kind of like, when I had the buzz cut, I was doing like leopard print and like hearts and stuff like that. And that was really fun. And I thought that looked really cool, but it's like, I just got sick of the buzz cut. I have like a process. I do like, okay, I do like a fade and then I get sick of the fade. So I do a mohawk and then I get sick of the mohawk. So I do a buzz cut and then I get sick of the buzz cut. So I grow it back out and I get to the fade. So I'm just like, and throughout all that, I just have to do like different colors. So I don't seem like I'm boring. I just feel like I got to like maintain this, like, okay, he's like tattooed and colorful hair. And it's like, that's his thing, you know?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of the pink personally, just for what it's worth.
The pink, I do think the pink look good is like, it's, but it's probably like the only like warm color I could like pull off, I think.
And you're rocking the pink nails tonight as well.
Yes. Yeah. I just did these today.
Nice.
Look good.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Is that a Chuck Liddell thing? I have to ask, because Chuck Liddell was, his daughter's like always painted like his toes and his nails and everything for fights. And, you know, people are like, oh, you're a fighter. You can't be like painting your nails and stuff. He's like, dude, my daughters are just doing it. What are you going to tell Chuck Liddell he can't do this? Like, he's like one punch. So like, I always thought it was badass. I was like, yeah, look, if this works for Chuck Liddell, like, why can't anybody do this? No. So I don't know if that was a Chuck Liddell thing for you or if it's just like, hey, who cares? Like, I'm going to paint my nails.
No, I didn't even know that. But that's actually awesome. I really liked Chuck Liddell when he was like active. I didn't know that about him, though. That's really cool. I just do it because, like, I started doing, like, black nails for the longest time. For, like, ever, I've painted my nails black. And then eventually I was like, what if I did a color? And then, like, I started doing, like, one color. And then I was just like, what if I just do, like, this super pink, you know? And then, so every now and then I'll just go, like, grocery shopping and I'll just, like, go over to the nail polish and like see if I find a color that I think that I like. And so I just have like a drawer full of different color nail polish and I feel like this today. It literally is, yeah, there's no like significance to it. I just like the way it looks. And then now I've been doing it for so long that if I don't have nail polish on, my fingers look weird to me. So I can't like not have anything on them.
I don't know if like Chuck Liddell like fully popularized like sport or men in sports like painting their nails, but again, at the height of his career, he was doing this. And who are you going to tell Chuck Liddell? Be like, hey, this, don't do this. Like, it's wrong. Like, dude's the most badass person on the planet. Like, right, he can do what he wants. So I always thought that was awesome that he did it. And like, I would start doing it. Like, sure, if it's cool enough for Chuck Liddell, like, cool enough for me. So
that's
awesome. The one last thing we ask everybody before I let you go here is for the coolest thing in your room.
Dude, I have like nothing cool in my room.
What's behind you? Whose birthday was it?
That was actually from my birthday.
When was your birthday?
Well, my birthday was in October, but that's actually it's actually from, it's not even from this past birthday. It's from the birthday before that. I just really like the way it fills this space under the flash. I think I just don't want to take it down. It looks like a nice decoration.
I was gonna wish you happy birthday, attend the show, but happy birthday from
happy very early birthday.
Yeah, thanks. I'll remember that when October rolls around.
Oh, appreciate that. I'll remind you by my next October, this October. If you don't have anything in your room you can show us, what's maybe your favorite piece of art behind you?
I really like I kind of like this whole set, to be honest.
It's pretty cool.
A couple of these are ones I did. Actually, if I had to point out anything up here, it would be my autographed copy of Sing the Sorrow by AFI.
Okay.
I'll have this forever. That's my favorite album of all time by my favorite band of all time. So it's signed by all the members. That was a gift that I got a while back, but I'll never let that go.
You're wearing their shirt right now.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Kevin, we appreciate you joining us here tonight. Let everybody know where they can find you at, plug anything that you want to plug, any information you want out there, go for it.
No, I mean, just feel free to follow me on Instagram and Twitter. It's both at BLKWDXVX. I've also got my tattoo Instagram. If anybody wants to like see about getting a tattoo from me, it's BLKWD tattoo. It's very simple. And then I guess I would just say go vegan.
There you go. Yeah. Guys, Kevin will be in action. I'm sure he's going to be in action this weekend, next weekend, always taking bookings, always staying busy, but he will be in action April 17th. It is in Las Vegas. It is Pandemonium Pro. The house always wins. He's going to be taking on Shelton Benjamin. Shout out to Pandemonium Pro. They're the ones who helped set this up with us tonight. So we appreciate them. I'm sure we'll be promoting that more in the coming weeks and months. And if you're in Vegas, go check out that show. Go check out Kevin against Shelton Benjamin's. Sure to be a great match. Everyone, the links are below to follow Kevin, follow him on socials, follow his tattoo stuff. So the links are below if you want to check it out there. And otherwise, we'll be right back here on the Spotlight.
You know that feeling when you're about to score 30% off, but they want your number? Ugh. Give them your Line 2 number instead. It's a second line on your phone, perfect for nabbing promo codes without inviting spam to your party. Sign up for every discount under the sun, then block the junk texts that follow. You get all the perks, but none of the spammy baggage. More codes, less chaos. Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store and get your shopping sidekick today. Because the only thing blowing up your phone should be good deals.